Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. It's my chance to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover on the television side every day to the world of theater, the arts, and music here on the Behind the Curtain podcast. And isn't this more fun? And today, what a special treat, because not only is my guest amazing, but it's a little bit of home that we're presenting to you. And so joining me is the incredible Broadway star, but as far as I'm concerned, as we at WGN say, Chicago's very own. Evanston's very own. It's all the same thing. Jesse Mueller joins me. Jesse, what a treat to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. My gosh.
You
and
are
yes, Chicago, Chicago all the way. You know, born and bred.
Exactly.
Evanston, technically, but almost Chicago. I mean, like,
well, Evanston
right up to Rogers Park.
You know, it's when people live in Schaumburg and they claim they're in Chicago that I have an issue with it, but not you. You're there.
I'm close enough. Okay, thanks.
Right. So you are the final piece of my bingo card that needed to be completed.
Oh, okay. And, I was like, contestant on what show? Bingo.
It's
okay.
My Mueller. It's my
Mueller bingo.
No, it's the Mueller bingo card. It's not a show bingo card.
You got it.
It's all the Mueller siblings. The free square was Andrew, by the way, because he's like in everything all the time. So I talk to him all the time. We make him a free square.
He does work a lot.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And finally, the one who I thought was going to be one of the last ones, Matt, who I got to talk to for Harry Potter.
I was going to say, just recently, yeah.
Yeah, so he was here. And your sister, Abby, who did the Broadway tour for you, among other things, for Beautiful. She was on my backstage show that we did on TV. So
awesome.
You were it. Where you been hiding, man?
Yeah, maybe I was under one of the bingo beans, but here I am.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And
do people understand that reference? Do the young folk understand?
You know what?
To play bingos with beans on cards?
I think the folks in the nursing home are watching us got it. The folks at the,
those are my people.
So, me too. Those are I'm huge with the over 80. So
they're the best.
You're huge with everybody. And I was so thrilled to see you are coming to Chicago for an evening with, of all people, Seth Rudetsky. We'll talk about Seth in a second. But he's been doing this series, this Seth's Broadway concert series. The truth is, I don't know, maybe if you're not a total Broadway nerd like I am or something, or you don't listen to SiriusXM or whatever, you don't know who Seth Rudetsky is, but it's hard not to know him if you're at all tied to the theater and Broadway world. He started this series. He was here with Lilias White not long ago. And
yeah.
So here you make this appearance. What other than coming home to Chicago for this, what made you want to say, yeah, I'm going to spend an evening at the Studebaker on stage and do my thing with Seth?
Well, I love, you said we'd speak about Seth because we should delay it because there's only so many things to say.
Yeah.
No, I tease. I love these shows with Seth. Like, he's become a good friend of mine over the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I just feel really honored because you mentioned, like, Lilias White. I mean, he has done this series with the, like, creme de la creme of Broadway, as I still like to call it, Broadway talent.
I do too, yeah.
And so I just felt really honored when he approached me, several years ago and was like, hey, would you ever want to do something like this? And I'd been thinking about sort of moving into the concert cabaret world, but I was terrified. And he was like, well, let me explain this show to you. Let me tell you how it works. And so to me, he's been such sort of a mentor in this world to me that I just, it is true. I'm not just saying this. It truly, it's so fun. It's like hanging out with Seth. I get to hang out with Seth. I got to
and
come
James.
To Chicago and James, his husband and producing partner. And then, we get to invite a bunch of people and we all get to hang out at this beautiful theater and we'll sing some songs and we'll chit some chat and probably tell some jokes and I'll have a good laugh and hopefully have a little escape from the state of the world as it is right now.
So I interviewed Seth before when he did the show with Lilias. And so here's what I didn't ask. I was with him before the show, but I hadn't seen the show yet. So now it's very clear to me as an audience member that you do not know what he's going to ask you and he can go anywhere. Am I reading that right? Or does he make it look that way, but you know what he's going to ask?
No, you're reading that right. I mean, those of us who've done it for a while now with him, we maybe have an idea about, bits that maybe have worked before. Like he might ask about this, or basically you have your reality, right? Your story, your trajectory of sort of like what's happened in your career. So, all that stuff might come up, but no, he will throw things at you. I mean, I have mentioned a song off the cuff and he has run over to the piano and started playing it because he can do that. He's that kind of a musician. And then, you feel goaded to try to remember the lyrics to whatever it was. I think one night it's like we ended up singing On My Own, and all I could think of was like Lea Salonga, and I was like just trying to channel her, being like, what are the words to this?
Yeah, so some he did. He would bring up songs, and it's like, so you don't necessarily, he may just ask you to sing something, and you got to
hook sure. it up. Oh, sure. And you either got to, you know, do it or try to, you know, amusingly backpedal your way out of it into something else. But
yeah.
To me, that's so much part of the joy of this concert and this series that he does. And I honestly have to say, I think it's because I've seen some of his other ones. To me, it's the part of the joy for the audience, too, because I think especially in today's world, we just are so bombarded with this idea of perfection. And, you know, everything being captured on social media. And it's like such a precious thing to go and watch something live and really know that it's live. Like no one else is seeing the show you're going to see. And that is exceptionally true with this series.
Including you.
Yeah, correct. Correct. I will never do this show again.
But right. You probably know this, but did he tell you what he did during Lilius' show, who was in the audience and that he brought
no,
up?
No, he didn't.
So Jay Harrison... Yeah, Jay Harrison, G was in the audience. And the next thing you know, Jay is up on the stage. And then they and Lillian did a number from Dreamgirls. And you could just see, they did not know this was coming. But man, it was, and you're in the audience, you're going, I get to be witness to this.
Oh, I bet it was on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this time, if you want to let Seth know I'm there again, I'm happy to do Do You Love Me from Fiddler with you if he wants to.
I was going
to
ask what duet you'd like to do.
We it's always do that. From Fiddler.
We could do Guys and Dolls Fiddler. Okay, you got it. Yeah. You got it.
and you could be Golder or Tevye. I don't care. I'll do whatever role you don't want. I'll take the other one.
Well, I was just thinking per lyrics, if you play Tevye, then you basically ask the question. So then I will probably know what the answer. I was just thinking, it's like, do you love me? And then I can go, oh, right. Do I what?
Right.
Yeah.
So all I gotta do is repeat the question, do I love him?
Exactly. Repeat it as a question.
So, look, everybody, you're never going to escape your Tony Drama Desk and everything else, award-winning role in Beautiful, creating the role of Carol King in that show. So I hope you're okay if we talk a little bit about it, because there's so much more to you.
I'm very happy about it. I feel very fortunate that was a part of my life.
And by the way, how unusual, this is like a Jeopardy question. Has it ever happened before where when you did leave the show and Abby stepped in? Like, how often do the sisters or siblings step in for a role?
That is a great question. I might be dead wrong, but I don't think it's ever happened before.
I don't think so either. I couldn't name a time.
I was trying to think of other performers, you know what I mean, with like performer siblings, and like the ones that are popping into my head are like different genders.
Yasmin's.
Or they do different things. Right, right, right. Or like, yeah.
Maria's Joseph. It's not going to happen.
No, I feel like that was a very unusual circumstance. Yeah.
And the other thing I get from
and she knocked it out of the park.
Now that like I'm best buds with all of you, there is no, you encourage each other. There's no, maybe there was when you were growing up, but there's like no sibling rivalry. You just all couldn't be happier for each other.
I feel like if, thank you. We work for that. I feel like what is the point of creating drama? I think honestly, the drama or the thing that happens is that we're all, maybe because we're all artistically inclined, we're all big feelers. And so we're all usually, I should just speak for myself. I'm always like concerned for everyone. Like you mentioned, like Andrew's always working. Like I always want everybody to be working and happy. Mm-hmm. That's my big thing with everyone. It's not about, because we're all just so different. And I think we've been really fortunate in our careers that we've gotten to sort of like play into our strengths and our individualities. And that doesn't always happen. But yeah, to me, the biggest drama is like, how's everybody doing? Does everybody have work coming up? Everybody got their work weeks. Like, how are we doing?
Yeah, but the truth is, and you come from parents who are performers themselves. So it's like the whole mishpucha is everybody's involved in this.
Yeah. So we grew up with that drama. So we know we like to stay working. You know what I mean? Like it is a wild business. So yeah, it's so nice to have that sort of understanding and support in your family structure, because I don't think everybody gets that. And we definitely are in a family where like people get it.
Yeah.
You know,
now when you're at the Studebaker on the 15th of February, if I look around the audience, am I liable to see a Mueller here and there?
I think you will. I think mama will be there. I think maybe an auntie. An auntie will be there, maybe a cousin. And I'm definitely going to have some friends that are going to come. So you might see some other Chicago actor friends. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure who, because like you said, knock on wood, everybody's working. So
yeah, which is great.
Well, we'll be there. But yeah, I think,
and brother Matt will at that point have moved on to L.A.
So, yeah, they'll be in L.A. at that point. Yeah.
Did you see Andrew in?
If Andrew's Andrew, this is official. If you're not booked, you better be there. I'll text you and give you an actual invite because I probably forgot to tell you.
I will let him know he's been threatened. But did you see him in Ernest Shackelford when it was here?
Shackleton, yeah, I saw that. Yes. What else? I feel like there was something else I got to see this year. I saw him do Beautiful at Marriott.
Yes.
For which he won Joseph Jefferson Award.
I mean, how amazing was that? I saw him afterwards. What a thrill. We talked about that a little bit of to be in the show that all your siblings are in. And, I'm always having fun with the Mueller's, which Mueller hasn't been in the show kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's sort of a running joke in the family now. As we go on, who will play Donnie and Jeannie and
Exactly. Yeah. And then eventually you'll get to Gypsy and you're all going to be doing that. But the thing I want to make, here's what some people may not know. You kind of recently, I don't know, maybe this was pre-pandemic, but you did Tracy Letts's The Minutes.
I did,
Is that pre-pandemic?
It was mid-pandemic. We got shut down. We were supposed to open at... Oh, see, now it's isn't it funny how it's still, it's a blur to me.
It all runs together.
Because I have to think about this. We started at the court. That's what happened. We started at the court. We were supposed to open on Thursday night or so. No, supposed to open on a Sunday. And this also, I remember this coincided. Abby, my sister, was doing six. And she was supposed to open that weekend and on a Friday, I think, Thursday or Friday. And we were supposed to open on a Sunday. And that's what it was. She was supposed to open Friday, maybe. And basically, the hammer came down on that Thursday, I believe, in the afternoon.
Had you seen it in Chicago at Steppenwolf with Fran Guinan? Had you seen that cast?
No, I didn't see that cast. But a bunch of our cast was that ended up doing it in New York was in that. Sally Murphy was in that one, and Cliff Chamberlain was in it. Tracy was not at that point.
Did Fran Guinan travel with it?
No, Fran didn't, because then Tracy, because I think Fran Guinan was playing mayor. The mayor, and that's the part that Tracy stepped into.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll take it from here, Fran.
Because writing it wasn't enough. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
That was funny, though. He was always joking about that. He's like, what hat am I wearing right now? Am I the playwright? In rehearsal room. Am I the playwright? Right. Am I an actor? Whoa, what happened?
Because there isn't enough talent in that family either.
No, exactly.
What has Carrie Coon ever done? What has Carrie Coon ever done? Nothing.
But that was a treat. I was just talking about that the other day. I was just having a catch up with Blair Brown and Sally Murphy. And I was like, you know what? I would do that show again. I was like, it would have to be with those people. And I was like, and I would love to see you gals every day. That's my favorite. That's what I miss the most, is just seeing you gals.
So you're known for the musicals. I mean, you just are. I mean, between Carousel and just all that you've done at Waitress and as Jenna, just so much you've done. But does drama, do you say, that's kind of a special pull for me? Or is it just a break?
Oh, that's interesting. I think it just depends on the piece, honestly. I loved doing that play, though. The timing of that, I mean, aside from COVID, that was crazy. But just the timing of my life I love ensemble stuff. I think that's my favorite. So the ensemble nature of that piece, the subject matter of the piece I found fascinating. I just love doing it. I would love to do another play. I think there is a pull for me. But it does. It just depends on the piece. It depends on the piece.
And then when you do shows like Carousel, which you did here and won Jeff Awards, and then do it on Broadway, and you're just kind of doing it, are there certain shows that you say that, for me, Fiddler, no one ever cast me, but I'm Tevye and always will be. I do get to do If I Were a Rich Man from time to time for a Porchlight event or something. But my point is, for you, are there certain shows that you think, yes, I'm going to be associated with that? And I think Carousel, because it's been part of your life.
I have always had a special association with that. Yeah, just because I've gotten to do it several times, and it was very. I love that show. I know people feel lots of different ways about it, but I think the themes of redemption and forgiveness, and that life is not black and white, is fascinating. And I think it's a beautiful piece. And talk about a score that's just oh my gosh, I get chills every time I hear the Carousel Waltz. And I was really fortunate to have great experiences with it both times. And I did another concert version of it in New York that I had a wonderful time. And just great people. And that makes all the difference in the world. So
yeah,
one of those.
Actually, you did Carousel at the court.
I did Carousel at the court.
Mm-hmm. It was The Minutes at the court? Or
The Minutes was at the court in New York. That's confusing. The court theater.
Oh, Carousel was, you're right. Carousel was court, Chicago, where you wanted to
Chicago, yes. And then we ended up doing Carousel at the Imperial.
Right. And of course, you made a little appearance in She Loves Me up at Writers Theater.
I did.
That in the old or the new building?
That was the old building. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the new building?
Yes. Well, I got to see Matt Theron once, and then I got to, that was the other thing. I saw Andrew in. I got to see Natasha Pierre at the new space as well.
I thought that was, I actually saw that with Josh Groban on Broadway, so kind of compared it, and had one of the on stage seats.
Sure.
So that was sort of special, but I thought Writers did a phenomenal job with that, with that show.
And that space is primo.
Oh. So are you a, are you an old fashioned Broadway person? What I mean is Rodgers and Hammerstein, you know, Carousels, those kind of shows, or you look at the new world, the Dear Evan Hansen's, and we'll even put Wicked in there, and we'll put Stephen Schwartz in there, Sondheim.
Yeah.
Where does Jesse Mueller connect the best, the strongest?
Well, that's interesting. I like it all. I love Sondheim, but I think there's always a special place in my heart for that, like, golden era, those golden era musicals, the Rodgers and Hammerstein, and the, I just, it's not that they're perfect, because they're not, and they're not always still a reflection of our world, I think, the way it is. And so I think we can have lots of, and people are having lots of conversations now about, like, well, who is this representing, and does it represent everyone, and could this be everyone's story? I think there are universal themes in them, but yeah, I'm not saying they're perfect. But I think it's just because in my story, in my truth, I grew up with those. So I think they have such a special place in my heart. But I mean, I love new stuff too. I remember the first time I saw The Last 5 Years was at Northlight Theater in Skokie. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And just sort of like having my little mind blown of like, oh, musical theater could also be this. You know, modern musical theater could take this turn and it could break these rules. And so, yeah, I don't know. That was a long-winded answer to, I don't know.
Speaking of North, no, but that, did you see at Northlight, did you see two pianos, four hands? One to try and catch. It travels. One to try and catch. It comes up from time to time. Two guys at grand pianos.
I feel like I saw this at Chicago Shakes when they did it at CST. Is this the same show? Maybe in the upstairs space?
It would be the same show, but I don't remember. Ago? I didn't see it at Shakes. But
I saw it at Shakes.
Around for a while.
I remember that.
Because you're talking about just a different kind
of Am I bringing that out? Yeah. Am I pulling that name out of thin air? Is that right?
We'll give you credit. Who cares?
Sure. I can look it up later and then I'd be like, I was wrong.
Well, sorry, by the way, we had it wrong. So although Seth will tell you what you'll be singing on stage on the 15th at the Studebaker, but have you been in the Studebaker, by the way? Have you been in that space?
I haven't, because it's in the Fine Arts Building, no? Or am I mixing it up?
It is, but it's been, the whole thing is like...
Yeah, remodeled. No, I haven't been in there since it was redone.
I Googled
it, though, and it's gorgeous.
What's that?
I Googled it, and it's gorgeous.
Yes, and have Jacob, who runs the place, give you like a tour. You know, that's where they built the Studebaker. So there's like these things. They would make them on the eighth floor, and they would lower them down to the... It's a whole thing. So if you're there long enough to make Jacob, who runs the place, give you a tour.
Well, that's true. I want a tour. I want to know about the ghosts.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. There's
always theater ghosts.
It's a magnificent stage, too, because like no matter where you're sitting, you're right there. So,
it's
just...
That. Yeah, even that's like, the best on stage too, when you feel like you're just kind of like all hugging each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, not knowing that that you'll have much input, it'll be Seth, but do you expect to be singing? Is it going to be like, okay, we know you for Beulah, let's start doing some Carole King, or might you get hit with songs from shows you haven't been in, and maybe you'll do Dreamgirls? I don't know.
Oh, that would be funny. That would be something. I don't know if anyone would pay to see that, but that would be something.
I would. I would be there.
Thank you, Paul. I mean, I think we're gonna have some of the beautiful, some of the waitresses, probably do some Carousel. We've done She Loves Me before.
Yeah.
Seth and I are kind of in the stages of sort of, when I say solidifying the set, I use solidify in quotation marks.
Right.
Just sort of like pulling together what we might pick from, and then, I mean, the fun thing is, he reads the room and he kind of, you know, and reads the audience energy, and where we go kind of depends on where they lead us, and where they lead, we will follow. If I make,
you know, you could like dress a lot of people up zombie like and do a little tribute to the Minutes.
Oh, that's a thought.
Especially like I'll be there, your brother. I mean, we just think about that.
Yeah, I think that could be a crowd pleaser. Yes, I've often joked I had a very long monologue in the Minutes, which thank God I got to read off a piece of paper. that I was joking that I should create a song out of my monologue of the minutes, but I probably
this is your
have
chance.
To get,
you got a couple.
I
of
know.
Weeks.
I probably have to get permission from Tracy. Maybe Seth and I should like make it up on the fly. Maybe that's it. We'll do an improv.
We'll call Tracy. We'll tell him what you want. He's going to tell you it's okay.
Okay, let's hope so.
It's just like when Streisand called Stephen Sondheim and said, "I need to play with one of your songs." He's like, "Go ahead."
He's like, "Do it."
Kind of shocking, don't you think?
It's amazing.
So when you're on Broadway and you're in front of, I'm getting to Carol King. You know why I'm not going to the whole beautiful Carol King, and I know you're okay with it and stuff. It's like everybody talks to you about that, so I'm wanting to do other things.
Sure.
But I've got to go there because people would say, why didn't you bring that up? But I'll get into it this way. First of all, do you prefer being on a Broadway stage where the audience is tourists and those kind of things, as opposed to a Studebaker in a couple of weeks where you know it's mostly, I'm guessing, a local audience, but they are Broadway and theater lovers? They didn't just roam in off the street and
right.
get tickets for something at Hot Ticks, you know, with all due respect. I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying, who's your favorite audience? Are you looking forward to the audience at the Studebaker because we are theater lovers? Or would you say, nah, give me a tourist audience. I don't care.
Oh, I mean, so the first answer is like, yes, definitely looking forward to the Studebaker audience because it still blows my mind that people want to, like, Seth and I feel so fortunate that people want to spend their money to come hang with us for an evening and listen to us sing. Like, that's such a gift. Oh, that is so interesting. It's funny because you brought up the Carole King thing. I think with that show, I definitely felt like I knew so many people had such an association with her and that music that really you kind of knew going in that like the crowd was going to be on your side.
Right.
Because there was,
and I'm going there next.
There was such a love for her. There is such a love for her. But sure, with something like The Minutes, I mean, that's like, you don't, and there were such like twists and turns in that piece that you really didn't, sometimes you really didn't know if the audience was with you until three quarters of the way through. And then there was a plot twist and you were like, oh my gosh, we got them and we had them all the way. They were with us every step. So I think there's a different thrill. There's a different thrill and a different challenge either way. But I kind of enjoy the challenge of like, yeah, like getting inviting someone to sort of crawl into the palm of your hand and be like, come with me, we'll have a good time.
Oh, so that's the New York tourist audience. Because what I was going to say is I think you're going to have a blast at the Studebaker because you're going to be able to say things, as Seth does, that are kind of inside Broadway and whatever, and this audience is going to get it. Like The Minutes at Steppenwolf brings in a fairly sophisticated audience, right? So, I mean, I just think that what you're going to get are people that are like, oh, you get me. You know what we're talking about. I just think
they're great crowds for these shows because, like you said, the people, they're like Broadway and theater enthusiasts and like we were talking about the sort of live nature and the off the cuff nature. I think that's what people love about live theater is that it's not all perfect and it's not that anything can happen and you roll with what happens. You know what I mean? Like those are some of the, Seth always likes to ask his guests about like stories when things have gone wrong. So sometimes those are the most fun moments because I think audiences enjoy that. It's not that they want to see anybody, you know, like fall down or hurt themselves, but they enjoy knowing the backstage bustle. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Especially you will have so many actors in the audience that they're going to relate to it. Yeah. In such a strong way. Okay. Carol King, but I'll do it this way. It's got to be one challenge to play somebody, as you just said. It's not as though it's not Hamilton. We're like, you know, people are going, I know what Alexander Hamilton looked like. I mean, nobody knows. So
he lived down the street from me. Right, yeah.
Right, the Hamiltons, they were a pain. No, so everybody, when Lynn could do his own thing. You can't do that with Carole King because she is incredibly iconic in so many ways. So my introductory question is, do you prefer the recreation of a real-life figure that everybody knows as opposed to a character that you're creating, being it Jenna, being it in The Minutes, whatever it is, and the only thing we know about that character is who Jesse Mueller gives us.
Right, is what they see on the stage. Well, with the Carole King thing, I was like terrified. I mean, for whatever reason, I thought it was a good idea to do it, and I was like, I think I want to do this. And sort of as I stepped into it, I thought, oh boy, what have you gotten yourself into? And I remember having conversations early on with Carol's manager, who's one of her daughters, Sherry Condor, and just saying like, hey, like Carol wants this to happen, right? Like she's okay with this because, and as we the cast and I learned, and I think as sort of the press rolled out for the show, she was very, I mean, it told such an intimate parts of her story and her personal life. Yes, her professional life and her rise to stardom, but also her personal life. And it was really hard for her to reconnect to some of those moments. And so for a long time, she didn't want to be the face of the show. She didn't want to be the face of the show for press. And so there were a lot of conversations about that. And she wasn't even sure she could see it. She did end up seeing it. And it was amazing. And she has since just come so fully on board with it, and the show has had such a great, we were talking about it, it's being done at like every regional theater right now because the rights have come up, and it had such a beautiful,
I was gonna kid you and say it's too bad nobody puts on Beautiful anymore,
right? And a tour, and so it's had just this amazing life, which it deserves. The legacy of these artists, Carol and Barry and Cynthia and Jerry and Donnie Kirshner, you know, and everything that those, and this, you know, the Drifters and the Shirelles, all these amazing artists that they were like the soundtrack of people's lives. So yeah. You know, I'm so happy for the show's success. But yeah, I was terrified at the time because I was like, what? Why? This is a, it felt like an unsurmountable task at times. But I would say the perk of it is I love research. Like I can nerd out about that stuff. So in terms of like, you look at a script and you look at a piece and you're like, I have questions. One of the questions I'm asking myself, how do I delve into this? How do I dig into this? A lot of those questions I could really answer. I could find research. I could go to a source. I could, so that was really satisfying. And I've gotten to do that on some other pieces, which was really cool. So I enjoy the research aspect of that.
Mm.
There's also a freedom in just sort of creating a fictional character. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, you'll appreciate, well, maybe you won't appreciate the story, but I interviewed an actor. I'm going to leave the actor's name out of it. And she was portraying a historical figure, well-known. You'd know the person she portrayed. You knew what they would sound. And so in my interview, I asked what kind of research she did on this person. And the answer was nothing. And I went, what do you mean? She went, it's just a role. I have a script. That's all I need. And I mean, that's an actor's choice, but
sure.
I'm just hearing you sort of talk about, to me, the importance of doing the research when somebody did live, you know, that you'd want to do that. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That's fascinating. Wasn't it like, didn't like Olivia Colman when she was doing the, not the Queen,
Crown? The Crown?
The Crown. I feel like I saw an interview with her. She's like, oh, I didn't do any research. No, I just...
Yeah. That wasn't who I was talking about, but...
Yeah, but, and I find that fascinating too. I think to me, in my brain, it would come down to like, the research funnels down to like, how do I make this as truthful as possible? How do I make this as honest as possible? So I think for some people, that's just channeling it through themselves, using the script and the words and being like, okay, how do I make this authentically come out of me? And I think just whatever the way I'm wired, I like to know the little details, because for me, that is an assist for me to make it honest.
Did you have a cup of tea or coffee with Carol? It doesn't sound like you did. You didn't meet her until the night that you saw the show?
I didn't meet her until we had come back. We had done an out-of-town run in San Francisco at the Curran Theater out there, the beautiful Curran, historic Curran Theater. And then we came back to New York to go into rehearsals. And I was walking back into the studio with Jared Spector, who played Barry Mann. Mm-hmm. And we got into the lobby and we were chit-chatting and like about to press the button for the elevator at night. Sort of looked ahead of us and I saw this curly hair in front of me and I was like, and he looked at me too and he was like, I guess this is happening today. And it was like, bing, the elevator doors open and she walked in with her posse. I can't remember who all was with her. And Jared and I like hung back a second. That's probably when he turned to me. He was like, well, I guess this is happening. Like, and then we got in another elevator and it was like out of a rom-com or something. Then we go up to whatever floor and the doors open and there she is. And I was just like, hi. She gave me the biggest hug and I think I probably started crying. And then I was like, you need to get your act together, Mueller. Because it was a really wild moment. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like this person I felt I knew, but I knew I didn't know her. I didn't know her, so I didn't want to be like, oh my God, give me a hug. But so
remember
she was
when
like,
we wrote this?
Right. You're like, you didn't. You're playing me in a play. Yeah. No, she was so generous. I remember that. So that was the first time I met her. And I think the first time anybody in like the cast team had met her. The creatives, I mean, obviously had been in touch with her and she and Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil and Jerry Goffin, who was still alive at the time, I believe they all had casting approval because it all had to do with life rights and things like that. So they
did
were
she go
a
up
part
on,
of
the
it.
The night she was there, did she go up on stage and take a bow? She must have, I would think.
She did. She literally came in disguise. She didn't. Stage management knew she was coming. The cast didn't know. Thank the good Lord.
Oh, you did not know.
I didn't know. I did not know. Thank God. I don't know how I would have. I mean, I would have had to step out on stage. I had a job. But no, I didn't know. Thank goodness. So she came and apparently, yeah, she was in disguise and then like went to the lobby bathroom and like took off a wig. She had like a wig and glasses, I guess. I'm not making this up. Like, I believe this is really what happened. And then we were, it was after bows and we were doing the,
Binding to the orchestra moment.
The Broadway Cares speech. Jared Spector was doing the Broadway Cares speech. And all of a sudden he was like, I just was hearing all this noise from the audience, like oohs and ahs. And I just,
oh, you still didn't know at that moment.
No, I was like, man, he is nailing this speech. We're going to make some money tonight. And all of a sudden Carole King walks out from stage right in like a sparkly black, like pant and top combo. And I was like, oh, that's why people are murmuring. And then I think I sort of like doubled over and probably started crying again. And then we knew that she had, first it was like, oh my God, she's here. And then it was like, oh my gosh, she saw the show. Yeah. So I think I was a little bit of personality of like trying to be like, and I was like, oh my gosh, what did she think?
Yeah, the guys that played the Simon Garfunkel story one night were performing, I think, in Minneapolis, and Art Garfunkel was in the audience, same thing, didn't tell anybody.
Good.
So, and he, without anybody knowing, he just walked on stage. I mean, nobody knew. And I talked to the guys that were playing it. They couldn't even handle themselves. It's like, you know, even producers, nobody knew he was coming. He just bought a ticket and showed up. So that has to be freaky. But you also, when you're doing a show like that, that means almost every night, that's one of those shows that everybody's coming to. So were you having, I don't know, Barbara Streisand and Hillary Clinton? And were they all making their way backstage to
there were a lot of fun people. Hillary Clinton did come. I remember, I mean, amazing musicians came too. I mean, Brian May came from Queen. I remember that. Yes, his hair is as cool in person. And
you get tongue-tied? Are you cool with it all? You're like, oh, of course you're Hillary Clinton. Hi.
No, I get a little tongue-tied with that. Hillary Clinton was more of a, you know, there's a lot of Secret Service involved. There was more of like a, just like a staged photo, but other people were lovely. They came back and said hello. Eugene Levy came. Loved meeting him. Who else? Like Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick came.
Joy Behar probably made her way over there. Whoopi, you might have had Whoopi showing up there.
Whoopi came because then we came on the we came on The View. We got to do The View, I think, after they came and saw it. And yeah, there were oh my God, why am I Mickey from the Monkees came? I mean, it was like
Mickey Dolenz, yeah.
It was wild. It was
every night you're like wondering who's there. I mean, that has
a little bit.
Yeah, I'm good friends. I don't know if you saw Water for Elephants. Greg Edelman and I went to school together at North. Yeah, and so it's just sort of amazing because there's just so many people that are, you know, if you're there live, then they will come back and they will say hello. And I would just be giddy over that kind of, trying not to be. But, you know, in my world, it's just, you know, the senator's coming over and I'm supposed to be thrilled. But covering the politics. But I just think that's amazing. So 20 years from now when they're doing, or 40 years from now when they're doing a Jesse Mueller retrospective and stuff, do you think there'll ever be a day where you'll say, you know how like certain performers will say, let's just do the hits that everybody needs to hear, we'll do a medley and let's be done with it because I'm sick of doing it. Will Beautiful or any of your shows be in that, or you're gonna, no, I will sing The Earth Moves till the day I die,
till there's no earth under my feet. I feel like I'm really fortunate that I've gotten to work on really great things. So I'd like to think that I will still love singing Carole King. I will still love singing Sarah Bareilles and Rodgers and Hammerstein. And I've been really fortunate that like I've gotten to do the good ones. So that stuff stands the test of time to me.
Probably another typical question. Will there ever be a show where all Muellers actually, maybe you've done this, where you're all on, is there a show where we'll be cast and we'll say, we have not.
I would also like to keep our relationships intact. So I don't know. It's like, would we kill each other? You're talking about like, we have good, I feel like we have a good relationship now, guys. What do you,
like Sound of Music, like, what do you think? Would the kids or something like that.
Yeah. That would be a really strange production if we played the children. Because that means I'd have to be Gretel, or Andrew would have to be Gretel. And I think, Yeah, we could do it with like shoes on our knees or something. Who knows? Maybe somebody will write it and maybe we'll want to do it. But nothing as of yet.
It could be fun. Well, see, I just hope this is, by the way, Seth will get mad at me if I don't. I'm in front of a green screen, but
Oh, yes. I haven't seen this yet. He
how many
hasn't sent me a
copies?
copy.
Oh, really? Do you want me? I can bring you mine.
Okay.
Although he signed this, so
Well,
I don't
don't
know.
bring it
Maybe.
to me, but we can at least bring it and then give him a hard time that he hasn't
Okay.
sent me one.
And in fact, I can't even read you what he wrote to me. So, I mean, I
Because you
won't
can't
read
read
it.
it or it's so
No, I can
emotional.
read it. I can read it.
It's so Seth.
It's so Seth, and so it and so what I can't say because of what I do on television
Absolutely. That
that I would just say thank you,
diplomacy,
Seth.
which you
Exactly.
understand well. Yes. Thank you,
Exactly.
Seth.
I can't. First of all, I hope I get to see you there at the night. I know for Seth, I went backstage. There was food. It was sort of ordered in, and he went to Starbucks. But maybe I'll get to
Yeah,
come back
who
and say
knows
hi
these
to you.
days? I feel like all the rules have changed, but yeah.
All the rules are different. But people need to get tickets for Jesse Newman.
If you need a ticket, hit me up.
Okay.
Paul, not the general public. I don't think I could get everybody in
Okay. We'll
just on
work
my
on that.
comps, but
February 15th at the Studebaker. This website a little complex. Fineartsbuilding.com/events. Fineartsbuilding.com/events, or just Google it. Jesse Mueller, Seth Rudetsky in Seth's Broadway Concert Series, An Evening with You, February 15th at the Studebaker. I can't wait to see you. You are so fabulous, and you've completed my bingo card, and I love you for it. Thank you.
thanks for having me. And we can't wait to see you. It's going to be a fun night.
I hope so. All right, we're gonna line up all the Muellers, and I'm gonna pretend I'm one of you. I've done that with the Ponces. I can do it with you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye-bye.